Hello, my name is Chip Lang, and you are listening to Total EM. If you have been listening in real time, you'll notice that there has been a huge gap, about a year, pretty much exactly a year since the last time I actually really got to touch the blog and podcast. And I do apologize, there were a lot of different things that were going on. Maybe at some point we'll talk about this in more detail, but I wanted to make up for that lost time and start getting back to the podcast. So right off the bat, we're going to do podcast number 242. It is 10 Key Pearls for Cluster Headaches. The reason why I chose this one is because I want to be able to give something quick to kind of bring people back into the track here, but I do plan on providing a variety of different podcasts still. You might notice that this is going to be once, maybe twice a month versus the every week podcast that we had before. Again, my apologies. Life has changed so much over the last year that I really cannot do this the same way. So if you're listening to this again, the format will change only a little bit, but maybe the spacing of the podcast is going to change a little bit more. However, we are still going to have a lot of the same great content, and we're going to do it in a way that still is going to cover a lot of the fundamentals that you all have asked for and some more advanced topics. Also, that does include continuing the ATLS series. Hopefully, Mike Sharma will be happy to get back on track with me so that way we can finish out that series because I am very excited to do that. And we've had lots of feedback with it along with other podcasts as well. So again, to go back to what we are talking about right now, 10 key pearls for cluster headaches. We're familiar with cluster headaches, maybe not as much as tension headaches or migraines, but cluster headaches are often considered one of the most painful human experiences if you do experience it. They are short. They last anywhere from 15 to 180 minutes, so basically 15 minutes to 3 hours. They're frequent. They can occur up to 8 times a day, and they're unilateral. They're behind or around the eye, often with some ipsilateral autonomic symptoms and restlessness. Again, these are all kind of key features that help distinguish it from the other types of headaches, including tension and migraine type headaches. While migraines and tension headaches are ones that we're more familiar with because of the frequency we see them, cluster headaches are still really important, and they are generally harder to identify just because of our lack of familiarity in comparison. There are, again, certain points that I want to discuss, and I took these pearls after going through a recent BMJ article called Recent Advances in the Diagnosis and Management of Cluster Headaches, and that's by Schindler and Burrish. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. So let's go over number one. This one actually is probably the one that's most concerning to me because of just the very nature of it, but number one is that suicidal ideation occurs in 55 to 64% of patients, and self-injurious behavior is often seen. They're not necessarily related. We'll talk about that here more in a second, but over half of the patients to about two-thirds of patients have suicidal thoughts with this. I think that speaks to the severity of this disease process and how painful it is, but I do believe that that's really concerning that there's such a high incidence of this, and it's something that I believe is troubling and something that we need to acknowledge with these types of patients. Number two, cluster headaches are associated with smoking, but cessation does not alter the disease. Again, there's this frequent thing that occurs, and it seems like there's a good connection with headaches and smoking, the cluster headaches specifically. But it also is a little bit troubling that cessation alone is not going to be enough to necessarily stop this process. Number three, there are episodic and chronic types. Episodic is about 80% of all cases. It's only during a period of weeks to months, and it often is in an annual cycle. Versus chronic type is about 20%. And it occurs throughout the year without remission. So constantly getting better with this versus saying certain times of the year are better or worse. Number four, there are certain clinical features that can help distinguish and identify cluster headaches. And here are some examples of that. There are pre-attack shadows with symptoms that present shortly prior to the actual attack, such as ipsilateral aching, lacrimation, and nasal congestion that's often seen minutes before. And further out, such as an hour, there are generalized symptoms, including difficulty concentrating and mood changes. The next part are mild symptoms that may remain between these attacks versus say a lot of cluster headaches and migraines, they do have a complete resolution between, not necessarily the case with cluster headaches. There's often restlessness, which again helps differentiate it from migraines. The self-injurious behaviors they're often seen, but not related necessarily to the suicidal ideation. These types of things include hitting or rubbing the head, punching walls, or cutting or piercing the skin even. The other part, another clinical feature, is that dysautonomia. And what that means is that there are changes in the autonomic tone that includes bradycardia, an altered tilt table test, and nocturnal lipolysis. These are things that are a little more complex and not necessarily something that we're going to directly notice except for maybe the bradycardia. All right, number five, approximately 80% of patients can predict when attacks occur. These attacks often occur at night, and it seems to be 2 to 3 a.m. is a very popular time to have this. They have an annual rhythm, often less common in summer months, and daylight hours, as you might guess with that 2 to 3 a.m. association, the daylight hours are associated in general with fewer attacks. Number six, there are common triggers, chemical, environmental, and physiologic, that are often noted, but it may not have an effect outside of the attack cycle. So in other words, you might be able to do this other times and won't necessarily cause it if you're not in that kind of peak, more susceptible period. When we are talking about chemical triggers, the most common is alcohol, and this often occurs within an hour of consumption. Nitroglycerin, PDE5 inhibitors, and strong smells such as cleaners or perfumes. Environmental triggers often include high altitude, weather changes, or bright sunlight. And then physiologic triggers include sleep, circadian rhythm disruptions such as shift work, jet lag, and time changes, stress, relaxation, which sounds terrible because they're opposite ends, menstruation, menopause, postpartum, and low testosterone. Number seven, brain MRI can help rule out secondary causes, and if refractory, consider other testing, such as MRI of the head and neck, pituitary lab test, sleep study for obstructive sleep apnea, and if Horner syndrome is present, image the lung apex. Okay, number eight, acute treatment includes sumatriptan, oxygen, often 6 to 12 liters per minute, and non-invasive vagus nerve stimulation. Number nine are transitional treatments. These include steroids, and you can even talk about an occipital nerve injection if you are trained and comfortable with that, and dihydroergotamine. So we're kind of pulling out some of the old drugs here, but they can work again as a transitional treatment. Number 10, preventative treatments include a variety of medications, which can be used if chronic cases are present or before the typical period of episodes, which includes verapamil, lithium, melatonin, caspasem, topiramate, baclofen, and then galcanezumab, which is a monoclonal antibody that's an injectable. And a new one, I don't really know as much about that one. Again, it was listed specifically. If you're like me, you want to understand some more of certain bits of this because this just isn't something you're as familiar with, that's fine. Go to the website, totalem.org, look for podcast number 242, which if you are listening to this shortly after it's been published, you will know that it will be at the top of the blogs that we have. And once you get to blog and podcast number 242, you will be able to go directly to the link where it's free to access, or you can download the PDF directly from our website, which it has recent advances in the diagnosis and management of cluster headache at the very bottom of that page. I am very excited again to be back in the saddle, be back to going at this after a year where I've had this break. Hopefully many of you are ready to get back to learning with me, and I am very much excited. Like I said, I have a lot of things that have happened over the last year. I'd love to talk about it more at some point, but I just want to focus on the content right now. If there are specific things that you are interested in, if you want to help so that way there are more podcasts, or if you know someone who might be interested, any of those kind of things, make sure to reach out to me. It's thetotalem@gmail.com, or you can contact us directly through the website. We have a way to do that as well. But until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.